righty, the John Curley, Sherry Elliker Show. And look at you listening to us. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. That's right. We're live. Can't do the best of because that's an oxymoron. Right, Sherry?
That's right. No such thing.
Nope. Dive. It gets better every time we speak.
Diving in.
Plus, the two of us don't mind working on holidays, so. All right. So, Jacob, you're going to play the sound for us. So, four teens escaped from Echo Glen. Echo Glen is located near Snoqualmie and Issaquah, by the way. It ranks near the bottom in the state of Washington for, I guess it's a graduation, or it's one of the worst performing schools in the state. I can't remember other schools actually worse than this, but so it says that the school district languishes at the bottom of the pile, rating 2,044th out of 2,052 schools statewide. They got some problems there. So they put these kids in there, and they're supposed to get an education. Recidivism rate is about 50%, and they were trying to get some funds for it. They said they would need probably like $5 million or something like that to get the right type of teaching to go on there at Echo Glen. Because if you don't, you're not educated, you're sending them out in the world, you're basically, you're producing a criminal. So this, by the way, Sherry, it doesn't have a fence around it either. It has wetlands that are apparently supposed to slow you down. But this is not the first time people have decided they want to escape from Echo Glen. Here's the story.
A stunning replay overnight of an escape that happened in the exact same way less than a year and a half prior, again involving 17-year-old Timothy Giovanni Hernandez Ebanks, who'd been convicted for murder in the first degree. He had escaped the last time. Echo Glen officials are asking for your help in finding the remaining four inmates or the 2018 white Chevy Equinox. They're accused of stealing off a staff member last night after physically attacking her and overpowering her to get to her car keys.
Initially seen on the northeast corner of that apartment complex.
Meantime, investigators somehow traced them 30 miles west to Burien. A neighbor who preferred not to appear on camera was looking out her front window when something caught her attention.
I saw the three boys flying across the yard.
One of them did lose their shoes.
I don't know where they expected to go from there. The police cars pulled up.
That's when officers caught the three of them.
Ran back south and then west, and they were apprehended on 509 there.
And they continued searching for the four others.
They're saying stay in your house so that their police dog could scout around the yards and see if anybody was still hanging around.
There was like two or three cop cars here all the way down the road.
It was the most police cars this longtime resident said he's ever seen in his Burien neighborhood. So residents are being vigilant
to make sure to keep everything well locked tonight,
as they're now left to ponder how they even ended up here.
Wow, and they came all the way to Burien. From Snoqualmie, you said?
The Snoqualmie facility recently got $8 million for security upgrades, but an employee at Echo Glen who wishes to remain anonymous told King 5 that they've had issues with being understaffed, and it's made their security more lax.
Oof, wow. Mm-hmm. It's tough to get volunteers to work there because they do feel unsafe. There's a woman that works here in Cle Elum. I happened to run into her at a store, and she worked there, I think, for 22 years or something. This is right after that escape that had occurred. Was it last year or something like that, Jacob?
Yes.
Yeah. And I said, so what's going on? She said, well, you know, when I first started working there, you could actually get through to these kids. They have three or four different types of counseling that they do. She said, because when we would get them, they weren't so hardened. And we were able to actually kind of reprogram them to see that life was different than how they were sort of addressing life. She said, but when they kept kind of not putting kids into the system, by deferring them more into these other restorative justice places, she said that we weren't as effective. And then by the time we did get them at Echo Glen, they were hardened, really hardened, and there was no way we were able to get through. And she found the work to become less and less satisfying. When she first started working, she said for the first 7 or 11 years, It was great. You'd get some kid and they were, you know, angry and scared and, you know, just striking out at everybody. But she said, if you could actually see some kid come through and you could get to them and then change their life and then they're on the straight and narrow, it was a great, great reward for the job. But once it became that they were just almost unreachable, that's when she decided to quit.
Well, one of the kids that escaped back in January of 2022 escaped again this time. And I think a couple of them are in for murder. So,
the first one that they mentioned, the 17-year-old murder, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so they, I guess in some way, depending on how long they've been sentenced to, they feel like they got nothing to lose, right? I mean, they might as well make a run for it if they tried it once. And I can't remember, John, do you remember it took them a while to find those kids the last time this happened?
Yeah, wasn't there some debate that they didn't want to show their faces? They didn't, which is the stupidest thing that you do. You know, if somebody goes in and shoots somebody and kills the person, and then the cops say, we're looking for a man between the ages of this and this, last seen wearing a black jacket and black pants. It's like, hey, anything else you can throw at us?
Yeah. That narrows it down to a million.
Yeah. Yes. 10 million. Right. Wait, hold on. He got rid of the black jacket. He's wearing just a shirt now. Yeah. They don't want to tell you. So for a while there, these kids were dangerous. And when they first released, when they first escaped the other group, the first time they got out of a year ago, they wouldn't tell you anything about it. It was like, how about throw us a bone here? How about showing some pictures of these guys so we can try to track them down? No, we're not going to do that. But just be on the lookout. That's a big help. That's a big help. So have they released any photos of these guys? I think they have now, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. King 5 has all their pictures. And there are four of them that are still on the run. Three of them got apprehended. And so you wonder if the three will roll over on the other four. Because they had to have a plan, right? You know they were going
to
be...
Oh, listen to you. I love when you talk cop talk.
Well, I mean, it only
makes sense. Roll over on the other four? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it makes sense, right? Because they're going to want to save themselves. And if they have an idea of where the other four were headed, you know, they use it as leverage.
I see how it works. Okay. Wow. You watch a lot of cop shows. If you were to do Good Cop, Bad Cop, would you be the cop offering the cigarette or would you be the cop coming in, pulling the cigarette out of the guy's mouth and stamping it out onto the ground? Would you want to go good cop or bad cop?
I think you know the answer to that question. I would want to be bad cop, but I would absolutely only be able to be effective as the good cop.
Okay. Jacob, good cop or bad cop? Give the guy the cigarette or pull it out of his mouth and slam it onto the ground and step on it with your big boot?
I think I have pretty obvious good cop only energy.
Okay. So when you come in... So you would give him a cigarette then?
I'd give him my whole pack of it, probably.
Yeah.
Also, why? Well, unless to say maybe don't have so many cigarettes.
Unless
that's the best cop,
mode.
Right? That's the cop that's worried about your health as he's interrogating you.
I mean, it's a real art where they try to, you know, become buddies with this person and, you know, you can trust me. This is the thing I don't understand is if anybody's watched any cop shows or any Dateline or whatever, you got to figure they're working you, right? I mean, they say, look, you got one chance here. You know, you can make it right. We can help you with this. They're lying to you. They have the right to lie to you about anything, uh-huh. about finding DNA, about any of that. I mean, people should know that.
Yeah. Rye watches these. There's videos and there's an entire, I don't know if it's a podcast, must be every guy podcast, but they'll show you, you can watch the interrogations and they'll stop it and they'll explain, okay, you see what they just did there and how they get the guy to trust him. It's like, look, man, this could go really bad. I want to help you as best I can. So just walk me through what happened again last night, because I'm sure it's just a great big misunderstanding. Yeah, and they just try to work them through and then finally get them. But if Jacob was giving the cigarette, and then you'd stand there and go, sorry, it's getting really smoky in here. Maybe the bad cop will come in here and put the cigarette out.
I'm pretty sure if I were a cop, a criminal could convince me that I did the crime somehow.
Right. Just go, go, you know, go.
Why are you asking me questions?
Exactly.
Really turn the tables.
This is Questions Face Family. This is the craziest story. That claims they adopted an adult masquerading as a six-year-old.
Yeah, it's insane.
Lawyer.
I can't wait for the show tonight. It's a documentary that's starting tonight on Discovery on ID. And it's a family in Indiana. They adopted what they thought was a six-year-old girl from Ukraine. And when they brought her back home, she started to do incredibly weird things. She was very violent. She would do things like she would throw the other kids' toys into the middle of the road, making them, you know, hoping that they would go in and get hit by a car. She tried to poison the mother. She tried to throw her up against an electric fence. And they began to realize that she was acting much more like an adult, and they believe that she has a rare form of dwarfism, making her look like a little girl, but she also had other attributes that were clearly only a more mature woman would have. And so what they did was they didn't abandon her. They rented her own apartment. Mm-hmm. They moved away and left her in this apartment. And then they were going to move to Canada. They moved her to another apartment. And when they did that, the authorities, they people called and said, there's a six-year-old living in this apartment by herself. What's going on? And they got charged with child neglect, or the neglect of a dependent. Yeah. And they, the court case, they got acquitted. They weren't found guilty of that. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I'm not sure how it's going to end, but they did commit her at one point to a psychiatric facility, and they said she was very aggressive with the staff. She was a little kind of sexualized, you know, just clearly this is not a six-year-old child.
How old is she in real life?
They think she's 22.
Uh-huh. So let's see, if you were to, are they going to do reenactments, or is this the, just, you know, the same photo of the girl? I guess they're going to interview the parents for the documentary. So you've had to cast it in the movie. Who would you cast? You have to cast somebody who's really tiny, right? Going to be small female. I guess you could do Lady Gaga, who's only 5'1" tall. Could Lady Gaga play even, a 6-year-old?
But that's tall for six. I mean, you need someone.
That's true.
You know, I think you'd need like a real 6-year-old, and just, you know, get her to adult it up.
All right, right. All right. So Sarah, in this scene, you're going to be throwing their toys into the street to get your brother and sister be killed. Okay. Wow, that's crazy. So she gets through the system. They think she's six. She turns out to be 20 some years old, and then. Did she take advantage of other? Did they catch her and they put her in jail?
I don't know how it ends. I don't know how they, what happens to her. They didn't say that in this article. But that the main part was that these parents were not going to be held responsible for this kid that's really an adult. And there are some people out there that still believe she's a little girl. That they say that, you know, there was a doctor in Ukraine that said she showed some bone growth. So you wouldn't have that if you were 22 years old. Your bones aren't growing anymore. And a few other things. But, I mean, it's such a weird, weird story. And you just wonder, like, what was she trying to do? Like, she showed up in their bedroom one night, the parents, and she had a knife and she was just standing there by their bed. And then they went into her room and she had been stealing knives from the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And just putting them in her bedroom.
It's doesn't sound like the kind of kid you'd want to be taking to Chuck E. Cheese.
No, you probably don't want to have a sleepover with that one.
I've got friends that have done foster care, and they have had kids in their house. And these are rare situations, very similar to that, where, they lock their bedroom doors at night. And take all sharp instruments away from the kids, and they're foster care. They've opened their home, right? And they're living basically in terror of the kid that's down the hallway from them. She told these stories. This friend, I'm sure she's listening right now. She listens all the time. God bless you. I remember saying, well, why didn't you call the state? And she goes, we just didn't want to give up. We didn't want to give up on her. And we just wanted to, we thought we could help her and kind of, you know, love her out of this. Oh.
Yeah. Do you remember the woman that or the parents that adopted the kid from Russia? And the kid tried to, kill the other kids. It was awful. And they put her back on a boy.
Sent her home.
On a plane with a note in the pocket and just said, go. We can't do this anymore. I mean, what do you do? You've got two or three other kids and they're threatening the other kids? I mean.
Yeah. And then there's the parents that adopt kids from overseas. They don't even have other kids, but it's just too much for them. And then they send the kid back.
Ugh. How do you live with that?
I don't know. I know not even Jacob could live with that type of pain. Thank you, Sherry. I'll see your spot for Cairo 7 and raise you one Buc-ee's. Buc-ee's Auto Service Centers. Take that car of yours to Buc-ee's. You'll love the work that's done on that car. They've been at it for 53 years. Not on one car. They fixed a whole bunch of cars in that amount of time. They've located in 16 locations. It's Buc-ee's. Buc-ee's Auto Service Centers. Hey, tell you something. This next story, I really relate to this guy. If I were a lawyer, I get a guy who's suing an airline. I think the airline is bankrupt. There's a food cart that somehow hit this guy's knee. So he's suing. He gets a lawyer. And the lawyer's like, well, I better get some cases of other airlines that have injured people with food carts. So where does he go for the information, Sherry? Does he go to the law library or does he go to some place and start pulling out those old dusty leather books and start looking around? What's he do?
No, he does the modern day version of that, which is he used ChatGPT.
Now, what could possibly go wrong? Because ChatGPT is the ultimate source for all knowledge and all knowing.
Not exactly. He claims that when they cited all these cases, right, that were similar to that or that they could use as examples, it was all wrong. They were completely bogus. And he got called out on it. And he said, look, I had no idea that when I went to ChatGPT, that it could just make it up. He did not know that. So he said, you know, he apologized. The court asked him to show why he shouldn't be sanctioned for this because they were upset about it. But yeah, he didn't know that it's a possibility that what you get on that, you know, on that site could be completely, completely wrong or completely, you know, false. Made up.
Right. So what he was looking for, I guess he put in, you know, examples of whatever he asked ChatGPT to come up with. And it was case after case after case in China and this and Venezuela and then in UK, all these cases. So he presents all this and the judge starts to try to track some of it down, can't find any of it. And then he starts to get suspicious of it. They should bring ChatGPT into the courtroom and have that computer speak for itself at this point, because he's really the problem. At that point, the guy go, hey, don't blame me. Blame the chatbot. That's the thing that should really get sanctioned. What about him, Your Honor, or her, whatever that thing is over there? Get that. And also, if you were the client, you'd be like, what? What about my knee?
He actually went back to ChatGPT and said, is this case real? He wanted to confront the chatbot. And he says, yes, it's a real case. Then he asked for its source. The chatbot claimed the false case was real. He said, this is the chatbot saying this. I apologize for the confusion earlier. Upon double checking, I found that the case Varghese, I think, versus China Southern Airlines does indeed exist and can be found on legal research databases such as Westlaw and LexisNexis. I apologize for any convenience or confusion my earlier responses may have caused. But he asked about the other cases as well. And ChatGPT replied, they are real and they can be found on reputable legal databases. So maybe there's some middle ground. I don't know. But the judge was not having it.
Yeah, that's I think the one guy wasn't licensed to practice in New York, so he gave it to the other guy. Then the other guy took it and then ended up kind of deciding, I'll just plug this in. And you know, people do put a lot of stock in everything they read. Anything that comes up on Google, well, it must be a fact, especially if it's in the first scan, the first page, right? But 82% of what you find on the internet is not true. That's a quote from Abraham Lincoln. I read that just online.
Good.
Yeah, every time, I think I've told Jacob one time, so bear with me if I repeat this. I went to court once to testify in favor of my father because my dad got sued for a slip and fall accident that had occurred at his apartment buildings that he owned.
I had to go to court,
and my father had me basically not be forthcoming with the truth in front of the judge.
Right. But you got like a bike out of the deal, right?
I got a bike out of the deal, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was less than honest. Okay. The judge said, so what did you do when you got the papers? And I was supposed to say, I was excited about school getting out soon, so I threw them under the couch. Judge, so the state trooper comes to the door and he hands you the papers and then you threw them under the couch because you were excited about school getting out? And I said, yeah. And then the judge looked, he's flipping through the thing, goes, they served you on the 11th of February. When was school getting out? I said, Easter? Easter? And my dad goes, he's not much of a student, Your Honor. Go, hold on. So you're excited that school's getting out like in 4 months, and then you take and throw the papers under the couch? Like, uh-huh, yep, that's what I did. Just sticking with it. That's right. Can't wait to get that bike.
Now, how old were you?
I was 14.
So could you 13? Have been, if they were going to pursue it, which they didn't, could you have been found guilty of perjury at that age?
Well, here's how I got away. I ran away. No, I went to ChatGTP. No, the guy said, you can't serve somebody in the state of Pennsylvania under the age of 18. You can't serve them legal papers. It was 18. You don't look 18. Also, my dad had me wear like knee socks and shorts and I think a bow tie and a little cap with a propeller on top of it. I mean, really giant lollipop, you know.
You were that 6-year-old from Ukraine.
Yes. It's like, he doesn't look 18. The judge goes, you don't look 18 to me. So you throw a lot of papers under the couch, do you, huh? I was like, I just want a bicycle. Oh, terrible. That's awful. What an awful lesson.
For who? You or your dad?
Well, everybody involved. My mom kept saying, that's a blood bike. My mom kept calling it the blood bike. Like, you know, that you give up your... It's morally wrong to ride the bike, you know, because you shouldn't have taken the bike. You should have stood up to your father and said, I'm not doing that, Dad.
Well, where was she? Well. Shouldn't she have stood up for you and said, no, he's not doing this?
She was at home making lasagna and then telling us it was all homemade. Then we'd have to go through the garbage and find the box. Mom, it's a Stouffer's. You didn't really make that. She threw the box under the couch.
Oh.
But
okay.
Sort of there with all the other papers. Teeny's working today too, Sherry.
Well, good for her.
She's drinking. What she have in there? Is that like a little margarita glass? Salt, is that salt and rocks? What is that, Jacob? What are you giving her?
I don't give her anything. She procures things somehow. I'm not sure.
I know. Okay, got it. All right, here comes the mailman now. Oh, my gosh. Oh, boy. All right. Thank you, Teeny. Here, mailman now. Oh, boy. Sherry, do something. Hold her hair for her. Hold
no
her hair.
No way.
She's getting sick.
No. She's
hair.
Working. She's drinking on the job.
Hello.
No sympathy. No sympathy. I'm the mailman.
All right, we'll get to letter of the day. Oh, Sherry,
oh,
Jacob, get that.
There's not a letter of the day.
Clean that up. What?
This is just a feedback. We played the wrong song.
Wrong song. But what do we do now?
It's a production segment.
Thank you.
Oh, there we go. Woo! Wow. Remember, we almost made a mistake. You know the show's live because we leave the mistakes in. Yep. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you. All right. A little bit of feedback here. Memorial Day. Benny in 253 says, hats off for you and John for being live on holidays, but don't expect to see my bare head very often. May I suggest advancedhair.com. Your grown natural hair begins to grow back naturally, Benny. But go on, Sherry.
Okay, this comes from area code 360. We went to the Easton Parade because we wanted a glimpse of Sherry's hands waving and throwing candy to the crowd. Yes. Her being absent was hard to handle.
Well, double rim shot. PhysicsO says, Jules' rendition is better than Roseanne Barr's. Yes, I think the jury's back on that one.
This is from Pomeranian Wanda. Chris Stapleton brought me to tears. God bless America.
Good stuff. When it comes to tracking spouses, 206 says, John and Sherry, how could I miss you if you never go away? Distance is good.
Okay, go outside. 509 says, when we were kids, we were forced to go out also. My stepdad would always tell us to go play in the middle of the road. I don't think he liked kids.
Yeah, so we talked about good cop and bad cop, and Trucker Robert in Puyallup, a regular listener and a writer, says, hey, John, I don't know if I trust Jacob as being the actual good cop. I think he's actually a bad cop. I mean, the state where they completely removed the death penalty from the worst possible outcome for murder, Jacob brings it back in the form of a pack of cigarettes, whereas Jacob probably is referred to it as death by cigarette. Well, thank you, Trucker Robert. Hopefully you pulled over to write that one. Okay.
This is Adopted Adult, Joel in Big Lake. There's already a movie about that called Orphan. Jacob mentioned
that's right.
It. Yes.
But you're going to be tuning in tonight to watch that documentary, right, Sherry? You're all excited
yes.
about it.
Yes.
253 says, I am Shauna Ray. It follows a 22-year-old Long Island woman who is essentially in the body of an 8-year-old dude. Eight-year-old dude. Fascinating movie. She overcame as a child. Stunted her development. A series shown on the TLC network. Sherry, about an 8-year-old dude. Here's some feedback. We're not a read, Curly. All right. Memorial Day. Spend just, I said this the other day, 10 seconds of silence. 15 seconds of whatever it is. Just bow your head. If you're not religious, if you're spiritual, thank those that gave the ultimate sacrifice for this country. You'll feel better about yourself. Yeah, you will. All right. You want to keep going?
Yeah, sure. I'm here.
Let's do it. All right. Okay. All right. I know you are. Don't sneak out. All right.
No way.